Unbranded Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie Dean. I'm so grateful to have you on this journey with me. And by journey, it's a journey of self-discovery, of learning about others, reigniting the passions I've long had but never had the time to dive into until now. If you're here, I'm sure you also have an interest in plant magic, living in alignment with nature, spirituality, and the magic that surrounds us that we don't see but works constantly in our lives. And I'm sure you also consider yourself a little bit woo-woo. So sit crisscross applesauce, cleanse your space, set up your diffuser with some oils that uplift you, and enjoy while we have interesting conversations with interesting people on Unbranded with Susie Dean. Hi guys, currently located at the cutest coffee shop in a very cute historic town with one-way streets and lots of woo-woo shops and lots of historical buildings in Virginia. We had to totally butcher the name. Occoquan. Some of you that are from here are like yelling at your phones or your radios. Because I totally butchered that. So I'm sorry. You can correct me in Instagram DM. Anyway, hi. Today we have Tierra, aka Mama T, on the podcast, and it was a delight. So Mama T is a healer and guide assisting people on their journeys of transformation and self-discovery. And she's empowering individuals to embrace a fulfilling life and in doing so, make the world a more loving place, which, I mean, is there a better time for us to be doing that? It's always time to be doing that, but you know what I mean. We go a little bit all over the place in this pod, like bonding over being only children and always being the wisest in our friend groups growing up, her absolute fearlessness when it comes to pursuing what feels right, like when she just up and left to Italy for a job where she didn't even speak the language. And we discuss some practical ways we can bring spirituality and intentionality into the mundane aspects of our days, because after all, we are responsible for our own energy, and that energy is infectious. So what will you do with it? At the end, Tierra will give us a tarot reading as we end the year. And knowing you all, I have a feeling that you will personally relate to many of the topics we discuss. You can work with Tierra at mamateenergy.com. Find her on Instagram at mamateenergy. And listen to her podcast, Mama T Energy, wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
What's in there? Coffee? Tea?
It is cacao.
How very nice. I've always wanted to do, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be like a cacao ceremony, I guess, if I was doing it alone. But I've always wanted to have ceremonial grade cacao. And I could make it like a ritual on my own and make it special.
Yeah.
Tell me like your cacao ritual. How do you prepare it?
Cacao I have right now is like, it's just like powdered. I actually ordered it off of Amazon, to be wholly honest. Depends on like my vibe for the day, what I'm going to put into it or whatever. But usually it has cinnamon, the cacao, of course, and some sea salt. I might, if I'm like feeling like, oh, there's something in my spirit that needs to be like burned off, I might like add a little like cayenne pepper to it to like spice it up a little bit. Sometimes if I have like rose hip or anything like that, like I might add that. So if I'm like wanting some more love, so it really just depends on my intention. If I'm like, ooh, I want to be a little bit more like luxurious and like add some like, you know, extra oomph to it, I might put either some oat milk or some coconut oil into that. And so it just kind of depends on what my vibe is.
I like that you infuse your like intentions and spirituality into it. That's something I'm trying to do more, is infuse like spirituality and intention and different ingredients that mean different things into mundane everyday cooking and preparing things that I eat and drink. Is that a regular practice of yours too?
Oh, yeah. That is like number one, life is ritual, is super simple with food and drinking. Like I can just be like, oh, okay, this is the intention for this. This is the intention for that.
That's such a pretty little phrase. Life is ritual, because it is. And I think that people get like scared of that word, especially people, obviously I'm Christian, people that are not used to the spiritual world and wording and like vocabulary will hear the word ritual and they're like, blood sacrifice. No, ritual is anything that you just like put your intention and your mindfulness into. I mean, like taking a shower at the end of the day, huge energy cleansing ritual. And so easy. Just like it's making the mundane parts of your life more meaningful. And I think that's a practice that we can all benefit from.
For sure. I might like swap out the word from like, oh, well, it's a tradition or something like that. I think about like the holidays, right? And so it's like, okay, well, I celebrate Christmas, but I can also like think of it, okay, like these are the things that I do. This is what makes Christmas feel like Christmas for me. Well, this is also what makes my, my cacao in the morning or my morning tea feel like a more extraordinary experience for me. So it's like the same idea in my head.
Tira, I always do this. I messed up. Can you introduce yourself to us?
Certainly.
I know it's like a loaded question because like, people will be like, who are you? And I'm like, wow, that's deep.
The deep question for sure. I'm Tierra, aka Mama T, and I am a healer, an oracle, a mentor. And I feel like I just like kind of fell into this lifestyle through life. I remember being in like high school and friends would just come up to me and ask me advice on things that I haven't even experienced in my life. It just became this sort of habit of really offering guidance. And that's kind of where stepping into like life coaching and everything really fell into place for me.
So you've always been, I don't want to say the word mature because I feel like that just isn't appropriate for the conversation. It's so overused, but you definitely had wisdom at a young age.
Oh, yeah.
Had you always been like that? And what do you think contributed to that?
I would say one, being raised as an only child and
Yes. Oh
also.
my God. Same. Same. People came to me too for the same reason. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, so like being raised as an only child, I think it gave me opportunity to kind of grow up like my parents were my friends, right? I have conversations with them. I learned how to cook at a young age. I remember I was probably like 3 or 4 and I knew how to scramble my own eggs. Like it was just like a thing. I think also getting trust from other adults helped me to fall into being more mature. And so with that, the nickname Mama T showed up for me in high school, where people were like, okay, well, you cook for us, you do this for us, you have this energy, and you're a safe space. So I brought that back. And it's so funny, actually, I hadn't heard it in a really long time. And then I was at an event and someone was having a rough time at this event. And I was like, pulled her shit aside and I was having a conversation. And then a mutual friend shows up and they're like, oh, Mama T just does that. And I was like, man, I haven't heard that in 10 years. This is kind of wild. This is God speaking. Like, it's time to add this to my branding. This is time to make a shift, time to bring that forward.
So, if you were such a safe space to your peers, I imagine, and I'm just like putting things on you at this point, you must be just a very open-minded, non-judgmental person. And I'm curious because I like to think I am too. And I wonder if that is a is an only child, it's not an only child thing, like so many people can be non-judgmental and very open-minded. But as only children, yeah, our parents are our friends. We're around adults more often. We're much more self-sufficient. And I think we end up, unfortunately, losing a lot of that childhood because, at least I did, was like parentified and started to be independent very young.
Right.
And I was somehow just exposed to a lot of things, whether it was my parents' friends or conversations my parents were having with their friends, and I was brought along because there's no babysitter and I'm just like kind of
Right.
with them. And so I was exposed to a lot more things at a young age, which then made me better able to give advice, as you were saying, and view situations my friends were going through objectively, and also be the person they would come to and be like, so Susie, I have this like pimple down there. And they like wouldn't say that to anyone else. Yeah. But they knew that I wouldn't be like, ew, S-T-D.
Right. Exactly. You know, man, now that I think about it, like, it's just like the friends that were like, I think I have a, like a pregnancy scare was like literally the thing. And I'd be like, okay, well, like, we can get you a test. We can do the things. And like, it was zero, yeah, zero judgment, right? Like, we all live our lives. And I think going back to the question about like how I matured quickly, I think also with the learning from other people's experiences is really kind of brought to the forefront, because it's just like, okay, well, I saw this adult do this and they're not happy with their life. I saw this adult do this and they're, and you know, this made them excited. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I learned from this and now I have this knowledge. And now, even if I haven't personally experienced it, someone else can like ask me a question and be like, oh, I totally know how to do that because so-and-so did that. I don't need to tell their story. I could just be like, all right, well, all right, this is how you're going to do it and how you're going to work through it. And it's going to be fine.
Listen, I know this is so simple. It's such a life hack. I feel the same way. Like, when people who are wiser than you give you advice, listen to it. Mm-hmm. Observe people who are in situations you've never experienced so that when you're in those situations, you don't repeat those mistakes. It's so easy, but people like don't listen or don't internalize it, and mm-hmm. they end up, and it's a part of that learning journey, of course. But it's hard to see people make mistakes over and over and over again and not heed that advice immediately. Anyway, I think we're just better than everyone else.
100%. It's what I love about group coaching or something, like being in like a container where someone else, I'm like, ooh, like you're way further along on your journey than I am, and now like tell me your life, tell me the things. Okay, cool. I don't have to do that mistake. I don't have to do that. I can just go now.
Yeah, thank you for making the mistake for me. It makes life so much easier. Okay, so going back, so you already were falling into this role of guide and safe space, but you also in intuition and energy healing and being in touch with that spirituality is also something that is integral to your practice, into your work, into your life. So were you always more of an intuitive child? Where did you gain access or exposure to this type of life?
When I think about it, looking back, I feel like I was an intuitive child, and I learned a lot about energy. Like, I didn't know what I didn't have the words for it or the vocabulary for it, because it wasn't something that was ever really talked about in my like home life. But I just had this knowing about stuff. And it's kind of funny. I recently had a conversation with one of my parents and they were like, you know, you always know how I'm feeling. You always know this, like you can read my energy. You know, when someone says this, it's going to make me feel X, Y, Z. So like, you know me so well. And so to me, that read as like, duh, I'm intuitive. But that's not the language we use. So when I think about now, I'm like, oh, well, it took me reading the law of attraction and falling into other avenues as an adult to actually put words to what it was that I was experiencing. So it just kind of naturally happened growing up. But now I'm like, oh, I can actually have some mastery of this and utilize it for my work and my life and how I can be more intentional and have more romance in my life because I'm more connected with it.
Will you walk me through how you got to the career you're in now? From the middle of college, you went to college, like dumb jobs you had, not dumb, but I'm very curious about this life.
My very first job was actually working at a Five Guys.
Yeah, I love it.
It was in high school. The Mama T actually kind of like flowed over there because I was hanging out with all the like the kids there or the some of the younger adults. Like, I was probably 17, 18 time frame. And so they were like the 23-year-olds that were telling me what they were going through in their life. And some of them already had kids. And so I'm like learning from them. And then I went to college, Virginia Tech, go Hokies. There, again, like I was making friends with like my professors and learning just how to be a lot more open. Like, I came from, I wouldn't say a small town, like my high school had way too many people, but it had this like kind of small town vibe because it wasn't super city. It's not like LA at all, but it was small enough where I felt like a lot of people had the same thoughts and ideas and whatever. And so going to college gave me the opportunity to meet new people from different cultures and learn. And I was always just like, ooh, I just want to learn. Tell me about your food. Tell me about your this. This is exciting. And so I kind of just followed what felt right. Well, theater is going to now offer a cinema production class. So I'm going to go into theater. I wanted to be an actor, but I was told that acting is not a viable source of income. So
okay.
I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go, like, you know, I'll study to be like a filmmaker. So that feels more comfortable. Oddly enough, like I graduated with a communications degree, studied journalism, and then I also studied cinema in the theater department and also took as many acting classes and tap classes and things as I could. I could have gotten like 2 degrees within my 1 degree.
Tap classes? Oh wow.
My tap professor, she was an amazing woman. So much fun, like so many things. So many stories. It was great. It was one of the most amazing experiences. And so from college, I oddly enough got the first jobs I ever got were all like acting related.
I told you that's not a viable source of income.
It's not a viable source of income, but like I was like, oh, well, I didn't get to study abroad while I was in college because I was double majoring and I wanted, well, they called it like a dual degree or whatever. So I was like, I was doing that. And then I minored in Spanish. So I didn't really have time because I would have been put me further away. Da, da, da. So, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to find a job in another country. That's what I'm going to do. Literal manifestation. I think I just Googled like get paid to travel or something. Something super random. And one of the first things that popped up was this company called Acclay. I don't know if they're still around, ACLE. And they teach English. They only hire native born English speakers to come to Italy and teach at their camps. And so the summer after I graduated college, I went to Italy. And I got to go and stay with, like, lived with host families and, like, moved around Italy and taught at these camps. And it was so magical and eye-opening. And I met so many amazing people. And this was, like, I graduated in 2012. And there are still people that I talk to from that experience. Like, I haven't seen them face-to-face in years, but, like,
what?
It was amazing. And, yeah, so when I remember trying to apply to jobs while I was in Italy, but I think something happened where my email shut down. I think we stopped, my roommate and I had an email, like a Verizon account or something. And once we like moved out and ended our lease, like that stopped. And so I didn't have access to that email anymore. And so I like, maybe I got offered a job and I never got it. And it's totally fine because it all worked out. So I was like, I don't have a job. When I got back from Italy, so I started selling knives in grocery stores, doing those demos with like Cutco knives.
Oh my God, why is this such a theme? Like when I was a high school teacher, my students would be like, "Miss Dean, I've got this job. I'm selling these knives," and I'd be so proud of it.
Great, that was great. So like, yeah, I did that, and then from there, I ended up selling like Verizon packages door to door to different companies. It's what got me to move because I was in like the Richmond, Virginia area, and then I really wanted to move to the DC area. So I got this job and I was like, okay, this is going to be great. And it was my opportunity to move. I met this lovely lady on Craigslist who I was renting a room for. I didn't even have to like pack anything. She already had like a like bed and all of the stuff that I needed. So that was perfect. I get there and I end up finding another job where I could actually be an actor at the National Children's Museum. And so I was doing that. And so they started opening up more hours. And I was like, all right, I'm going to quit this sales job and I'm just going to act full time and then like supplement it with some babysitting. As I was doing more acting gigs, I went to this in-home wine tasting and it led to me being like, oh, this is like really cool. Like I could totally show up to somebody's house and be like, try this wine, try this wine, try this wine. What do you like about it? Don't you want like a bottle? How about 6 of them? And I got into selling wine full time for a while. And from there, I was learning like, okay, well, I don't want to really want to do just going to people's houses. Like, I feel like the internet is where it's at. Like, I can reach way more people if I was doing something on the online than having to show up and maybe meet anywhere from like 8 to 10 people at a tasting or whatever, and then like go from there, and then go from there if anyone's familiar with like MLM. From there, that's where I started learning about how to market online. And I was doing these different Facebook groups and Facebook Live challenges. And eventually someone somewhere along the line was like, oh, well, like, yeah, you're doing the things, but what about like your energetics behind it? And they were like, the law of attraction is amazing. You should check this out. And I think the movie was on Netflix. And so I like watched the movie and I downloaded the audiobook and I'm like listening. And I'm like, this makes total sense. Like, why have I not had more magic in my life? Why am I not thinking about this? You know, like I recognize, you know, I would pray all the time and things would show up. But like there was this, the ask, believe, receive was just not a part of my like mental, like my practice, I guess is the right word for it. It was like, okay, well, now I have this business. Now I'm going to learn how to like align my energy with it. I got different coaches that incorporated not just strategy, but like energetics and frequency and spirituality into business. And lo and behold, one of my coaches was like, you know what? I'm going to like start a life coaching school. I want to like get all of my people. These are my favorite. You are my favorite people. We're going to do like a kind of a beta test of your school, and I'm going to start the certification. And so that's where I got certified to be a life coach and certified to be a business coach. And after that ended, it was just kind of just naturally fell into place. Like we were supposed to be like, I guess, sub coaches to her coaching. Like people could pay a higher price point to go coaching with her, or you could go through the people that went through her school and like for a lower price and coach with them. She decided to rebrand actually. And at that point, it was like peak COVID. And I realized like, you know what, actually, I didn't want to do this anyway. I kind of want to do something that's on my own and play around and do some other things. And I just had started reading tarot at around that time. I had come into another community that had a tarot reader, and she was like, oh, like did my numerology, was like, you would be a great reader. And also you would be a great Reiki practitioner. That's where I kind of like fell into, okay, well, let me go and get my like Reiki master teacher. And she incorporated tarot into her program. And so I was doing that and I learned more, and I just built that trust in myself and my ability to read. From there, I was like, well, this is what I want to do. So I started like, I went between like, I was still doing wine and I was like, let's do wine and tarot together. And so like, my marketing kind of like did both of those.
I think that's a match made in heaven. That must have been fun.
It was fun. And eventually I got away from like, I still drink wine, but I got away from like focusing on the wine to really like, this is time to just focus on the work that I really love to do, the guidance, the mentorship, the things that I was doing in the beginning in high school and talking to people. And there we go. And this is how I come full circle. And this past March, actually, I was working at a company, and we had like breakout sessions, which was great. They were like, oh, well, we're remote first company. Let's bring people together. Let's offer something else. So I would offer like Monday mindset Mondays, and I would do like meditations and conversations to really get people in the mindset, because it was also very sales heavy. So like helping people really like get in alignment with like, hey, this is what I'm trying to do, this is where I'm trying to go, this is what I'm trying to build. Like, let go of any fear of someone saying no to, you know, signing up or doing whatever. And so really doing that mindset work. And before I knew it, like we actually had a round of layoffs. And I remember sitting in the chair as people are like sending out like their team's messages, like, oh my gosh, like they're laying people off, like so-and-so's gone. And I'm like, you know what, if I get the call, I'm gonna be okay. Like if I get like the thing, I'm gonna be okay. I know what I'm gonna do. This is like, it's you know, God, source, the universe, like it is time to really focus in on what my mission is, what I'm here to do. And like literally after I had that thought, the call showed up.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God. Okay, maybe I was confident then, but like, this is a little scary now.
Oh
What am
my
I doing?
God.
It's been amazing. You know, like, yeah, okay, finances can be a little scary, but like, it's like, wow, this is where we fall into that trust. That's where we fall into that believing part of manifestation, like ask, believe, receive, and really working on letting go of anything that's could be a block, right? And your blessings can come from anywhere. So like really being like, all right, this is it. Like, this is where I'm going to connect. This is where, the rubber meets the road, as the saying goes. Like, I truly trust myself, whatever divine beings that you like to like you align with. Like, this is the trust part of the process.
You're stepping out into faith,
Yeah.
and it's hard and it's scary, but there also is, I'm sure, a part of you, and I've felt this too, where when you're stepping out into fear in something like this, yes, it's scary, but also there's a part of you that's like, but this is so right. This is the part, this is the action step that at the end of the day, I feel peace in the pit of my stomach about it. And it's scary on paper, but I just know. And once that
Right.
radical trust comes into place, then you really can just sit back and see the magic of life and how everything does just end up falling into place perfectly when you're on an aligned path. It's very easy to see how all these work experiences and just life experiences continue to build all of the skills that you have now that you're using for your own success. Like, you had so much marketing experience and having to sell yourself and having to make relationships with people quickly that is so foundational to what you're doing now. And I mean, you came into this work that you're in now in your own business with so much more skill than the average person. I want to go back though. How are you so fearless? Have you always been like this? You just graduated college and you're like, I want to move to a different country. Jobs in another country. Let's go. Like, do you watch New Girl?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, there's a line where Jess says, I take small planned steps like an arthritic dog or something like that. And I've totally butchered that, but that's totally me. Like, everything needs to be planned out 10 steps ahead. I need to analyze every possible scenario. So, are you a Sagittarius?
I'm a Libra. I am
Oh.
like, there is like so much air in my chart.
Wow. Okay, well, that explains all of the jobs and all of the skills that you have. But have you always been that just let's freaking do it?
I love that you said fearless, because sometimes I would not describe myself as fearless. Because to me, I'm like, fearless is you're going to jump off out of a plane. And I'm like, no, it's a perfectly good plane. Why would I do that? I'd rather be first class sipping some champagne. But when I do think about, okay, we'll travel, that kind of thing, it's more of what is a full body yes for me? It's kind of where it is, where it's just like, okay, well, this feels right and I want to do it, so I'm going to do it. And there we go. And it's funny to me because it just seems like, and I'm stepping into human design and learning more about it. And so now that I know like I'm a 2-4 generator, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, like I will do the things, like the certain things I don't think about how it naturally shows up to me, because the two is just like that natural, like you just do the thing and it comes naturally for you. Oh, I'm gonna go to Italy. Like, yeah, totally. I'm gonna go to Italy. I'm gonna get on a plane. No, I've never been on a plane by myself before, but we're gonna figure it out and it's gonna be fine. Do I speak the language? Absolutely not. But Spanish is close enough. Like, literally, this was my thought.
I'm thinking about the first time I went on a plane by myself. I was probably a similar age that you were, and I made my now husband take videos from walking into the airport all the way to getting on the plane. Like, this is what happens in security. This is the train that you have to take. This is where you sit, and this is what you have to wait for when they call you to stand up. Like, I needed so many details. I needed so much handhold. And you just went to another country. It's flying to Chicago.
I love
Okay.
it. I mean, O'Hare Airport is a lot.
I don't even, it wasn't even O'Hare. It was Midway. Not a big deal.
I can be fearless when I really want it. I know that. So that's it. It's just, okay, I want this thing and this is how I get the thing. I have to get on the plane. I have to do the thing and it's going to be an experience and I might not know what's going to happen on the other side, but I feel good about it. So here we go.
Gosh, you're so connected to your intuition. Obviously. I mean, you're a generator too. Do you have a sacral like opening?
It's open. I want to say it's open. I have a lot. I don't have anything really defined in my chart. It's a lot of open space in my chart.
I don't really know how to read human design, but I know I'm also a generator and I also need like the gut feeling
mm-hmm.
in my stomach when I know
that. Like the sacral authority. Yeah, I'm an emotional authority. So I'm supposed to like pause for a second, come to neutral before I make a decision. So it's like, okay, I can be super excited about something, but if I say yes to it and then, you know, it's something that was supposed to happen like 3 days from now. Now, 3 days from now, I'm like, okay, I'm not as excited anymore. I'm kind of in a neutral state. I probably shouldn't have said yes to that.
Mm-hmm.
So like making sure that I can really plan it all the way out in my mind. Like, okay, it's going to be on Thursday. I have 19 meetings. I probably am going to be exhausted. I'd probably much rather like have a salt bath or something.
Yes. What exactly does life coaching mean? You said you're a healer, you're a mentor, and you're a life coach. So what does work entail for you? I'm a customer. I'm coming to you. I want to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
What does the process look like to figure out how we work together?
Oh, yeah. So I have different avenues that people can, you know, step into. With that, life coaching, I use life coaching and mentor kind of interchangeably. Mentor for me feels more like guide. It feels more, I'm not going to tell you exactly what to do, but I'm here to listen to you and hold you accountable for what you said that you wanted. So like, I would say that I'm a personal trainer for not just your health, but for your entire life. Like I'm here, you said you wanted to lose 50 pounds. All right, well, what are the things that you're doing to get towards that goal? You want to be more in touch with your spiritual self. What are the things that we're going to do? Here's what I have found to work for me to go this way. Like, if does that feel right for you kind of vibe? And that's the work. And so I do have one-on-one sessions. That's something that people can tap into. I have a membership community that you can tap into. I have a mentorship package, which is both one-on-one sessions, Voxer or Facebook Messenger days, and access to the Home Mastermind community that I have on Facebook.
You must be really patient to be a life coach. Just hearing you walk through that, do you find that? If you're like holding people accountable to the life that they want and they're like not doing the things, mm-hmm. I would be like, just do it.
Yeah. You know, yes, because it's not my life, right? Like it's not there. Your transformation is not my job. Your transformation is your job, right? Like if you go to the gym and you sign up for a personal trainer and then they're like, all right, you're going to do 3 sets of bicep curls, 12 reps, whatever. Okay. And then you're like, you do the thing, but then they're like, all right, so we did it together. Now you're going to have to do it twice more this week without me. And then you come back to your next session and you're like, all right, so did you do your 3 sets of 12 with your bicep curls? And they're like, no. And they're like, well, what transformation are you looking for? Didn't you say that you wanted like, you know, stronger arms? You wanted more definition in your arms? Why did you not? And you're like, oh, I didn't feel like it. Well, obviously you didn't feel like getting the transformation you wanted, or the choice to be comfortable is better than the choice to like be uncomfortable slightly for a little bit to get to where you want to go.
Going off of that, it's a perfect segue. You talk about having radical self-responsibility for creating the life you desire. What does that mean to you? And would you say that the majority of your clients are coming to you because they want a life? I guess that's what a life coach does. Like, I want to change my life. I don't like the trajectory that I'm on. So that's a two-part question. Radical self-responsibility. And what kind of state do people usually show up to you in?
Radical self-responsibility to me is really being consistent with staying in alignment with what it is that you desire to create, whether it's love, money, health, whatever. You're holding yourself accountable. And having like a coach or being a part of like the mastermind is really just like making sure that you're staying within that frequency, that you're holding it, you know, when we talk about manifestation, there's that belief space, right? And so sometimes it's trying to condense that belief space so that that receive space can show up for you a lot faster. And so that's where the practice is of like, okay, I'm going to show up for myself. I'm going to show up for myself. I'm showing up for myself. I'm holding that belief. I trust myself. I trust the work. I'm trust that like maybe I don't see it. You know, if you're like, I'm going to be a millionaire and you have $0 in your bank account, that might be a gap that's going to take a while to close. But if you're like, oh, well, I want to lose 5 pounds, and that might be a shorter gap to close. So it's just like, okay, I just need to shift how I'm eating a little bit. I need to, you know, drink more water. I need to go for a walk every day or lift weights or dance or whatever makes your body feel good. So these are the things that you're going to show up for to make sure that you're closing that gap every single day. And it doesn't have to look exactly the same every day either. When it comes to who's showing up, it's usually there's this essence, regardless of if there's someone that's on a great trajectory, they just want to make sure that they stay all in alignment, or someone that's more like, okay, this is not the way I want my life to go. And now I'm desperate for like something else. I just need a shift. Regardless, there's an underlying fear that's there. That's what really is there. It's like, it's a fear of losing or a fear of staying the same.
Would you say that the people that are coming to you are already, the fact that they're coming to you already has them at a higher self-awareness than the average person, and thus yeah, more likely to like put in the work?
Totally. I would say that my people are people that are already conscious. You know, they're self-aware. Yeah. They're conscious. They're not necessarily at the beginning of their journey. They are someone that's like, all right, I know I need to show up. I know I need to be radically self-responsible. I know that this is what I need, because like, people aren't going to drag me down the road, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So you probably don't have to be as patient as I was anticipating that you have to be, because you're not, it's not like you're a therapist that's meeting someone that was like forced into therapy for the first time.
Right.
Totally not ready for that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So what I'm hearing so far is there's a lot of practicality in your work, in being a life coach and holding people accountable to transforming their life. Where does the energy healing and just energetics, frequency, spirituality, how does that play into the practicality aspect of it?
In terms of like the mastermind, that's where I hold like all the rituals that I like to do. Like I want to do like a cacao ceremony and those kind of things. That's that space where we work on the mind, the body, and the spirit is how I like to think of it. It's like holistic work. So the body is that doing work. That's like, oh, I'm going to show up to the gym, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go live to market myself. I'm going to do like, these are the things that I'm doing to stay in alignment with my goals. But also like practicing, okay, well, where's my mind at? When I'm not on my live, or when I'm doing something and someone's asking me a question, what do I say about myself? And so making sure that, you know, through the masterminds, through our group coaching conversations, we're talking about, okay, what is your unconscious saying? So if someone's like, oh my God, my life sucks, and you're out having drinks with your friends and they're like, my life sucks, boys suck, and or whatever, like, I'm never going to find love. Do you fall into that same pattern of being like, you're right, boys do suck, and da, 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 and you just like have this unconscious negative self-talk, but yet you're saying that you want to find the love of your life. Like, how are you not upholding that? Because that unconscious conversation is really showing what your unconscious self is saying and your beliefs are. So we got to work on that mindset and that beliefs. And so having the masterminds, the group, the whether it's group coaching or individual coaching calls, that's where we're uncovering that work. That's also, I might pull like tarot cards or oracle cards for that part, right? So we're making sure that we're bringing that unconscious forward so that we can make the shifts. And that goes to like where the energy or spiritual work is. Or when we find a shift that needs to be made, we can do an activation, we can do an energy clearing, we can do that kind of work, we can do a ritual even.
Let's go back to that example of being at a restaurant with your friends. There, that's potent. That was a really good example, because so many people are not aware of how easily they slip into the lower vibrations and energy of people around them without thinking about it. And I'm a strong believer, and I know you are too, we all have the opportunity to create our own energy. When you're in a dynamic where there is a conversation happening around you that's that is low energy. And of course, there's always space for people to talk about their issues. Fine. Like we need that therapy space. But when someone is around us, maybe complaining about their husband, like it goes over the line of therapy talk with girlfriends to just complaining. And it is like complaining about their kids. You have an opportunity to fall into that and then also complain. And then everyone's just like leaves the event feeling lower than when they arrive. Mm-hmm. Or you can change the vibration and you can talk about all of the wonderful things about your spouse and the wonderful things about your child and ultimately lift up the people around you and change the trajectory of that conversation. And then everyone around you can walk out feeling better than when they walked in. And this happens to us all the time, all day with everyone. And the quicker we can learn to take that space and acknowledge that space and make a choice, the quicker we can lift our own vibration.
I love it because, you know, it was something I noticed about myself that I did very unconsciously and working heavily in like a sales room where people, you get into this space of like, I'm not hitting my goals. I'm not doing this. Oh, the market super sucks right now. So like nobody, and then you're like, and I would notice it because I'm doing the work where I'm like, well, if I truly believe that I create the life that I desire through my energy and my work and my mindset, then if I'm saying things like the market super sucks and nobody's buying right now, well, then I'm creating a space where the market super sucks and nobody's buying right now. So I have to make a choice to say, you know what, that can be your story, but that's not going to be my story. And you know, taking that extra step of, okay, like, yeah, you know what, we're going through a hard time and we can make a shift here. We can do that. And I try really hard not to like turn into the coach while I'm in these spaces.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, or what I'm doing, like I can be conscious of what I'm doing. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's tough. You know, it's tough, but you know what? I'm experiencing something different. I can say it that way, not being like, hey, you know what you're saying. I try not to do that because I was like, if you want coaching, you can sign up for coaching.
Yeah. Don't give that away for free.
But if we're having just a conversation, I have to make sure that my energy is clean and in alignment with what it is. And that's a practice that we have to do. And that's also where like good masterminds and making sure that you're in a space that have people that can catch each other.
Yeah.
And those, like if I'm talking to so like one of my more like woo-woo friends, then I'm like,
good. Call
it out on it. But when I'm talking to my muggles, then I'll be good.
Yeah.
But I try not to do it.
I know, I vibe with that. It could be off-putting, but that's also that's the beauty of having all of our woo-woo friends is we're usually leaving each other's presence feeling better. But that was a wonderful segue into core foundation and value of yours. And I believe is that when we lean into our fulfillment and reach our life fulfillment, we raise our vibration. And by each individual raising their vibration, they raise the vibration of the earth. Can you speak on that?
Right. I really believe that the more like we as conscious humans have a job to raise the collective vibration. And I don't know if anyone's ever, you know, done the work on themselves and they're out and about with like their friends or something. And like someone's like, your energy is amazing. Your vibe is amazing. Like those kind of compliments. Like then, you know, you're one of those workers that has this job. Like if I maintain this vibe, if I maintain this energy, look at the changes. Like someone's happier. You know, it's as simple as like you're walking down the street and you smile at somebody else and then they see your smile and they smile back and then they might smile at somebody else and that ripple effect goes and you're just a slight little change just made like shifted somebody's day, shifted someone's experience. So the more that we're conscious about, okay, this is what I'm doing with my life. This is where I want to go with my life. This is how I want to feel on a day-to-day. I'm choosing to be at peace. I'm choosing to be happy. I'm choosing to find fulfillment. Even if I'm not exactly where I want to be, I'm choosing to be grateful for the life that I currently have and excited to see where we're going to go next. That is something that, one, you're teaching next generations, like your children, they're going to learn that. They're going to embody what you're doing as their parent. Right. Or their trusted adult, like auntie, teacher, whatever. Right. Like you're going to create something for them, a shift for them. Even if they're not tapping into like the specific work, there's something about you that's going to make that change. And so we have to be self-aware. We have to do the work for ourselves. And maybe someone else is like, what are you doing? And you point them in the direction so they can do the work themselves too. You know, my dream is like 13 million people are listening to the podcast, or they're tapped in some way into this kind of work, so that the billions of people are going to eventually be touched and reached. And we're going to live in a world that we're proud to call our home. Because I find it to be kind of a societal norm where everyone's like mad at their country or mad about something. And like there's just this constant theme of struggle, I believe, that we can get rid of.
And that theme of struggle is totally intentional, right? Can you imagine, like, just if we all chose, if half of the country chose to be like, I'm not going to be mad about my country, and I'm not going to be dissatisfied, and I'm going to choose to make intentional decisions that are more positive, small decisions all day. And then half that people in the country live their lives that way and impacted so many people with that higher energy. And then everyone was like, I choose to look at this a different way. Could you imagine how powerful we would be? How much change there would be in our the everyday experience of the quote lowest person even that exists in our society? Massive change. And when we're not constantly divided and unhappy, then, I mean, then they can't control us anymore.
Exactly.
Everybody wants the same thing, in my opinion. We all want generally the same thing. We have different ways of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were able to shift the daily decisions and viewpoints of ourselves like this, we could all ultimately get the world that we want and the society that we want and the experience that we want, where even if we have different beliefs, maybe we can like have a conversation about it instead of demonizing the other person.
I mean, that's also a big part of it, right? Is like we become more open,
mm-hmm.
open to conversation, open to being curious,
mm-hmm.
rather than trying to like convince somebody like, no, this is the way that you, there's only one way. No, there's mm-hmm. so many different ways, right? There's so many ways that we can approach find joy, happiness, peace. You know, one person will find it healing. Somebody else might find it being a singer. Like,
yeah,
there's so many that's what makes, I think, being a human amazing and wonderful and beautiful, is because we all have different desires, and there's nothing wrong with any of our desires. When we are living in our true soul self, then, and honoring what it is that we truly desire in our life, and then we feel that fulfillment, we feel that peace, we feel that love, then we're giving people permission to do that for themselves and figure that out for themselves, rather than just following like, I'm supposed to go to school, go get married, build this, do this, have 2.5 kids and yeah. whatever. And then now I'm 65 and I hate my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are some like practical tips that you would leave someone with for how they can start to find their fulfillment and the life that they desire? Because it's all cyclical, right? Is what I wrote down. It's like, we have the life we desire, we give off a higher vibration, we affect the people around us, and then that fulfills our life, and then it continues. So how people are realizing, okay, I'm just following what society has told me that I have to do, but I have no idea how to think for myself or what my passions are or what I even want. How can someone start becoming conscious of that?
I think being able to, that first conscious point right there is just like, wait a minute, I'm on the hamster wheel. And so the first thing is stepping off, right? Like the first thing is, okay, I realize that I did the things that I was supposed to. I should it all over myself. And now where do I want to go? And so when we're in that space of like, okay, I know that something's off, but I don't know where to go. This is your invitation to play. As like scary as it sounds and as like unorganized as it is, and especially when we're like adults, like if you're, you know, in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and you're like, well, I've followed this regimented path and now you're asking me what to like be a 5-year old all over again. Yes. 100%. Yes. Like how do children learn? They play. They figure it out. They, you know, babies put things in their mouths. How do they learn to walk? They take a step and then they fall over and then they take another step and then they figure out how to get into balance. And then next thing you know, they're running and you can't catch them.
Yes.
Well, that's what we have to do. We have to allow ourselves space to play and not make it so serious. Ooh, I was at this event yesterday and someone said this quote to me and I was like, oh, that is powerful. She said that your life is important, but it's not serious.
Ooh, that's cute.
And I was like, yeah, I love, like, your life is important. We are living this life. Like, give it the grace and the honor that it deserves and its importance, but it doesn't have to be serious. We don't have to be angry and stressed and like regimented about it. We can have fun in it, right? I feel like I believe that life is supposed to, meant to be enjoyed. So what do you enjoy, right? Runaway Bride. And so there's this like scene where like he comes to like interview her because she's been married or like almost married so many times. It's wild, right? But she always runs away from the wedding at some point. And I can't remember how many times it is at this point in the movie, but they end up falling in love. And he says something to her about like, you always become whoever like her partner was, like, and there's pictures of like she had this like punk guy friend boyfriend, and so she started becoming like punk, and then this one's, you know, into sports, so now she's all like sports and football's amazing, and so she doesn't have her own individuality. She kind of just falls into whatever they're doing. And the scene is she doesn't even know how she likes her eggs. She always takes her eggs however her fiance's taking their eggs. So she literally makes eggs like 30 different ways. There's like, she's at this table and there's like over easy, there's scrambled, there's like, there's all these eggs. And she literally sits down and just figures out how does she actually like her eggs instead of just allowing whatever to happen to her. And it's so poignant. And so that's it. We have to do how do you actually like your eggs? And you start with that. Like, do I like walks on the beach or do I want to be in the mountains? Do I like gardening? Do I like that? Like, and you play around, you figure out, okay, I do like my fingers in the dirt. I do like this. I do like that. How can I get more of it? How can I experience more of it? How can I surround myself with people that actually enjoy things that I enjoy? And I do believe that like we are the average of the 5 people that we spend our most time with. So going to that energy, right? The ripple effect. So if we're spending time with all of the people that like consistently hate their life and hate their husbands or hate their work and whatever, and we decide like this is just, it's common, it's not what it's supposed to be. I learned that this is not the way it's supposed to be. How am I going to get around the people that actually are living in the way that it's supposed to be, so that we can continue to learn from other people's experiences, like we talked about in the beginning, right? So that we're like, okay, maybe I don't need to try that one out. That doesn't sound like an experience I want, but that does sound like an experience I want.
Through doing that, you're learning how to listen to yourself more and trust yourself and identify, wait, oh, that little sparkle in my tummy, that was a ping of interest. I'm going to do that. That's how I feel about pottery. I've been trying to take a pottery class just like for fun. I don't know. I think I had like a kid's pottery set when I was like 7 that I tried once or twice, and I haven't touched it since, and I don't know anything about pottery, but I just want to take a pottery class. That just makes me feel a sparkle in my tummy. And we'll see if it sticks. But it's the fun is in the journey, isn't it?
Exactly.
And then
I like the like seeing if it sticks, because I think sometimes we get caught in this like, okay, if I do this thing, then I'm stuck. And now like it becomes a part of my identity. And so giving ourselves the freedom to try things on, like, you know, putting on a different mask or whatever, like it doesn't necessarily need to be who we are just because we tried it on.
That is one thing that gets people stuck. And then the other thing I think is being good at it. Mm. And I think we could all practice doing things and just not being good at them, but just doing them because they bring us joy.
Right. The practice of being a beginner.
Yes. Exactly. So everybody listening has the grace to try something and not stick with it, and try something and stick with it and not ever be good at it. Yes, that is still valuable.
Exactly.
Okay, before I ask you my five fun questions, because I ask that to everybody, can you do a card reading for the listeners?
Oh, yes. Let's do a card reading for the listeners. I'm pulling from the Lightseer's Tarot deck. It's my favorite deck. It's so pretty. Do you have a specific question for the listeners?
I don't really know how to talk to tarot cards.
I don't know.
But I think it could be something related to like the end of the year and how we're going to be settling into this phase of our life.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe you can say that more like eloquently.
So I'm going to divine a message in alignment with how do we end 2024 with more peace, love, and joy? Interesting.
Okay, shit.
Oh, some of the cards. I love it because when the cards come up that look a little darker, it can be scary for people, especially if, you know, like you have the idea, like you don't see like the duality of like, oh, like each card can mean multiple things. And the way I read is very intuitive. I look at the coloring. I look at a lot of things outside of just what, you know, is written in the book as to what the card actually means. But within the context of it, it's, to me, tarot is just giving a reflection of what our current energy is. And we get to choose how to shift that frequency if we want to shift that frequency. If we get a reading and it's like everything is sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns, then you know you're on the right track and you can like let it go. But if you get something that's like, yeah, I don't like that, it's your invitation to shift maybe something in your mindset, shift something in your behavior, shift energetically so that you can go and get that reading that's like, yeah, this makes me happy and tingly all over. So first card is the Wheel. And this is just like your reminder of your power. You can turn the reel whatever direction you want to go. You can turn it to the right. You can turn it, like, if you look at your life as being in a car, you are the driver. So which way do you want to drive it? The next card that came up is this Five of Pentacles. And this Five of Pentacles, the Pentacles are very, you know, about material things. So really, like, a lot of times you see this card and it's like, well, we're going towards the holidays and I am terrified about the money. I want to buy the gifts. I want to do the thing. I want to travel to see my family or whatever. And so now we're like, we're freaking out about the finances. And it's really, this is your invitation to say, what if we can just allow everything to be? We can say yes to the things that we truly want and no to the things that we do not. This is how we're going to cultivate more peace, saying yes to the things that are actually our yeses and no to the things that are not. Because when we say yes to the things that we don't want, that is how we betray ourselves. That's that Seven of Swords that just popped up. So saying yes to the things that we do not want, that is getting us in out of alignment. That is putting us in a space of not trusting what is actually our yes. And that is putting us in that practice of getting into that unconscious habits, right? And so we really have to focus on how are we going to bring everything that we do into more conscious, being more intentional. Like we talked about my cacao earlier, right? Like how intentional I am just by like making a simple cup for myself in the morning, really bringing that intentionality into it. So which way do you want to drive? Do you want to drive, you know, up the street, down the street, whatever? It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't mean anything about you and the decision. You just made a decision. This is your choice. So in choosing the peace, the love, and the joy, you say yes to the things that feel like peace, love, and joy. And that is how you close out 2024.
That was wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That definitely aligns, especially with the stress of the holidays and the stress of election season coming up too, which is very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Stick to what brings us joy, because it can be real easy to spiral downward if we get into that habit of people pleasing. I ask all of my guests five fun questions at the end of the episode. Silly, related to you, not related to you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What's your favorite tarot card?
I'm like the worst at making choices as a I feel like as a Libra. But the first card that comes to mind is the Tower card.
Oh my God. Okay. Go ahead. Keep going. I'll tell you why I said that.
And like the tower, I think mostly because of other people's reactions when it shows up. I just like think it's so funny how like people get like, oh, the tower, no, I'm scared. But I'm like, it's a good thing. Like you're making shifts, you're making changes. This is, you're pulling down, like you're getting rid of the matrix, you're getting it. Like this is like a really good sign. Like, yes, things can be a little bit scary that show up because you're making a big change in your life. And so I love being able to say like changes are happening and it's a good thing. It's great. So I love that card.
The reason I asked this question is because the other day I was having another podcast interview with someone who also does tarot, and I was co-hosting it with my cousin, and I don't even know what the fuck the tower card means. I don't know anything about tarot. Okay. And my cousin, growing up when we were in like middle school and early high school, would read my tarot cards for me. And she and my guest were talking about tarot cards, and my guest had said that her favorite two cards are the death card and the tower card. I don't know what this stuff means. And then my cousin was like, can I ask you why you like the tower card? And she said a similar thing to you. And so when I was writing down this question, I was thinking specifically of how she liked the tower card, whatever it means. And apparently it's very controversial. And you said the same thing, which is fantastic. Can you tell me, anyone else like me? Like, what is the tower card?
It typically demonstrate like some sort of tower. Depending on the artwork, it's always like a tower and it looks like it's crumbling and like the foundation is like falling apart. So like, yeah, you know, someone might be like, well, what's going on in my relationship? And then tower card pops up and you're like, well, I'm getting a divorce. Like it's usually what people's like thought process is. It's like, it's the worst possible thing. But really, it's just a card that's showing like an energy of change. Like something is changing and you can choose how you want to change it, right? And so that's why I love it. I was going to say, I do have a second favorite, which is the Empress, because I love that like feminine sensuality, the mother. I feel like that's like, it gives mother vibes. So that's like my second favorite card. And that's the card I love to get for myself. I personally,
but I love
you're also scared of the tower card. No, I'm like, oh man, what's going to change now?
I mean, but yeah, I vibe with your reasoning, because that tearing down of old ways and old beliefs, which is what it sounds like it is the most beautiful sign that like so much goodness is on the other side. And it's all making space for something that's like beyond your wildest dreams.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Second question. If you were to make your own tarot deck, what would the theme be?
I could totally do like a wino tarot deck and like have it be like different varietal. Here's the cork dork coming out.
It would be like the cork dork cards. I've never heard that in my life.
Oh my gosh. And it would be like, you know, like different varietals have a different meaning. So like associating, because there's so many different varietals out there. And then like you can also have like, is it bubbly, like the major arcana are like sparkling and champagne, and like the minor arcana are like the nat. Oh my gosh, I'm such
a dork. Okay, wow, you have it all planned out. You've been thinking about
literally
this.
Literally never thought about this ever.
Well, I think it might be the natural next step. Yeah. Sounds like you have everything planned out. Baths or showers?
Ooh, I love a good spiritual bath. Some salts, do like essential oils, all of that good stuff.
Okay, great. Me too. Good answer. What is the most magical place you've ever been to?
I've been this, like, I would say I'm like so blessed to have been able to go to so many different places. And what have I felt most connected to? I think I felt most connected to Thailand when I was there. And I was in Chiang Mai. I remember just like walking around. I'm like, this is great. I got to go to like an elephant sanctuary. It was amazing. And I was like, I want to live here. I want to move here. I don't care how like hot and sticky and sweaty it is. I just want to like, let's move. It's going to be great. So yeah, I think Thailand is definitely on the top of that list.
Oh my gosh. So much spiritual good energy there. I feel like Thailand is referenced in like every spiritual book that I read. And everyone says the same thing about Thailand. Is the beauty and the energy and the sense of awe that they feel there. Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Tell me about your favorite teacher in high school.
I would say, she is amazing. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many. I have to like now I have to pick. I was gonna go with one, but I was like, is she actually my favorite?
Oh, yikes.
Yikes. I was like, I've had some great teachers. Like I'm very, again, very blessed. I'm gonna have to go with, I had two. So like the first was my mass comm teacher, and she really opened my mind. Not really like, you know, not in a spiritual way, but like in the way of like, you know, people have different cultures and it's okay. Like she would make us have, I remember my freshman year and it was an election year, and made us have like debates and stuff and really like figure out what is it that you believe in, and not like, oh, not just rhetoric that your parents are saying, but like, what do you truly believe? And like really opening my mind in that regard. And so I thought, I think she's amazing. She also would travel and like bring back videos, like, cause it was mass communication. So she would bring back these videos of like, I remember being, it was like Japan, I think she went to. And I remember editing this like little girl saying, oh, hi, Okusaima, like over and over. And like, I loved it. And so it was just like this opportunity to learn about other cultures. And she, I think, was one of those people that got me not afraid to like go somewhere else and do something, try something new. She ran marathons. She did all these really cool things. And she also broke the mold. Like, she didn't make us call her Mrs. whatever. Like, she was like, you can call me Kate. Like, you know, like, call her like that kind of thing. And so she taught me to have permission to like really go for what it is that I want and have permission to go against the grain. So I think that was a really great, and I never really thought about it until this moment, like how impactful that was for me. And then my other one was my show choir teacher, and just her kindness was always, is like, you know, we're still like friends on Facebook, and just like how kind and connected she is to her students and God, and just one of these beautiful, beautiful humans. And I remember we would have a day, like as seniors, you could pick whatever teacher you wanted to be over the day. And like she would have like a list, because like there's so many people that would, like, there was like seven of us that dressed up like her for the day and like walked around, and it was great. And she brought us Chick-fil-A, and it was so, so fun.
That's beautiful. I love asking that question, because I was a high school teacher, and teachers are angels among us most of the time. And
yes,
it's always valuable to reflect on the teachers that impacted us the most and give them sparkles and give them glitter for that. And maybe shoot them an email if they're still working at that school and you can figure it out, or send them a DM on Facebook and remind them of how impactful. That's like invaluable. Two teachers. Thank you so much for spending time with me. This was a delight. It always feels good to get hyped up on a particular conversation that's like so positive and where you're both completely on the same track and mindset. It's very validating, and I can leave this conversation feeling lighter and more joyful than I did before.
Yes. Thank you, Susie. I loved it.
I hope you enjoyed the wisdom, knowledge, and camaraderie that was shared today. If you enjoy this podcast and hanging out every week, make sure to subscribe to this show so that you never miss an episode. And if you really want to make my heart sing with joy, take a couple of minutes today to rate and review this show. In doing this, you're exposing the show to others that are just like you and just like me and would benefit from the information shared here as well. If we're not already connected, you can follow me on Instagram at woowoobestie_Susie, S-U-Z-Y, where I share more about my plant magic journey, spirituality, and knowledge about essential oils. I've also linked our Woo Woo Bestie Facebook group below if you're not already a part of it. It's a safe space for seekers of wisdom and those anywhere on their journey of spirituality. Ask your questions, share your moon rituals, learn from the collective wisdom of the woo-woo community. All are welcome, and I would love to see you there. I hope that you have the best week ever. Until next time.